The ninth commandment: you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. The content of the ninth commandment extends beyond its literal English phrasing, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." It includes all carnal concupiscence in thought and desire. The disorder caused by original sin brings with it a selfish claim for sexual pleasure that ignores the order established by God. Holy purity is a virtue acquired by means of God's grace and personal struggle. To keep our hearts pure, it is necessary to rid them decisively of impure thoughts and desires, since they are the internal origin of all sins against chastity, and if consented to, they are sinful in themselves. This effort is worthwhile because purity is one of the greatest sources of joy, peace, and energy for personal growth. As our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God." Encouraged by this assurance, though aware that it can be hard to keep our hearts pure, we know that purity is a wonderful gift. A laurel wreath we ought to covet, and a safeguard against the bitter deception of the stains of impurity. It is ridiculous to claim that man is a beast incapable of overcoming his instincts. To begin with, man and woman are not beasts. And when God calls for purity in thought and desire, he does not command something impossible, because commanding it, he asks you to do what you can, to ask for help when you cannot, and he will help you so that you can do it, as the Council of Trent taught, quoting St. Augustine. Concupiscence. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they not only sinned, but also opened the gates of sin. Concupiscence is the inclination to sin which remains even in a baptized person. Baptism remits original sin, but it does not eradicate concupiscence. St. John wrote about a triple concupiscence: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is a consequence of original sin, contradicts reason, and disorders man's faculties. Concupiscence in itself is not a sin, but it inclines man to sin. It can cause no harm to him who does not consent, and who faces up to it with God's grace. After baptism, Christians continue to struggle against concupiscence. Purification of the heart. To combat the tickling of our passions, we have to look for the root of sin, and the root of sin is in the heart. We have to be pure in body, but above all, pure of heart. Jesus warns his disciples, "From the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication. Therefore, the fight against concupiscence begins with the purification of the heart, because God wants us to be pure and chaste first and foremost in our hearts." The ninth commandment prohibits internal sins against chastity, impure thoughts and desires. Fighting against temptations. Temptations against chastity are not sinful in themselves, but only incitements to sin. They are sinful if the will indulges them, but temptations are not sinful if the will does not consent and rejects them. They come from our evil inclinations, or from suggestions from the devil, or from the world that surrounds us. They should not surprise us, and, without getting obsessed, we have to pray to be strong to reject temptations promptly. God grants his grace to conquer, so that he who resists temptations grows in love of God and becomes strong inside. When doubts arise whether something is a sin against purity or not, competent persons like parents or priests should be consulted so as to form our consciences correctly and obtain peace. These doubts are like those annoying flies that land on our face in summer. Whereas the fact that they land on us does not depend on us, to keep them off does. If when confronted with temptations we are able to say that we did our best to keep them away, then there is no reason to lose our peace and joy. Decorum and modesty. Decorum forms part of the virtue of temperance and is a safeguard of purity. Decorum helps us avoid exposing what should not be exposed, and also serves as a guide in the way we dress. It is related to the virtue of modesty, which governs gestures and body movements. It also helps us keep silent when speaking would only satisfy morbid curiosity. Decorum applies to feelings as well as to the body. It protects personal intimacy and helps us behave with gentleness and sensitivity. A campaign for purity. Christians must struggle to cleanse the morally polluted environment of today's permissive society. Many present customs and manners are the result of a mistaken conception of freedom. Reason alone should tell human beings that they cannot let themselves be carried away by the erotic tone pervading so much indecent entertainment on television, in the cinema, at the theatre, etc., because they are an affront to human dignity. As a wise man once said, "The more human company I kept, the less human I became." Christians, all the more, have to make every effort so that the means of entertainment are clean and do not offend God. Only in this way will entertainment constitute true culture. The effort to promote chastity and purity, which God protects under the 6th and 9th commandments, means helping men and women to be more human and to purify and elevate social mores. When chastity is not practiced, people become brutes and society brutal. How to improve in chastity. We can obtain and improve interior chastity with prayer. We ought always to pray for purity with rectitude of intention, seeking to do the will of God in everything. In order to resist indulging in impure thoughts, we have to guard our imagination and eyes, and the other senses as well. Resolutions for Christian life. Promptly dispel impure thoughts, using the proper natural and supernatural means. Think about what could be done in my family and social surroundings to promote a morally pure environment. Practice decorum and modesty.